listen to the first team, knowing what fun it will be.
Welcome to the Grow Room. I'm Bob Bupke here with Jay Randolph Jr. And even though it's the start of the 2016-2017 PGA Tour season, and it's the coming to the end of the European Tour season, makes it kind of confusing what season we're really in, Jay.
It's crazy, Bob. I mean, you and I were schooled on the, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, where, you know, East Lake would end the season with the Tour Championship, and the guys would play the silly events or the secondary events or the big money season, the Skins game and the Skills Challenge and this guy's tournament. And it's all changed with the, you know, you look at what happened last week with Matsuyama with his win and young Cody Gribble with his win, and they've got a heads up, a leg up going into the year 2017, but they're already off to a great start to the season.
No, you're right about that, and that's what some of the players are complaining about. If you don't play, you can fall behind in the FedEx Cup and all of that stuff. And if you do play, you're not really getting a proper off season where, you know, recharge the battery, spend time with the family, do some fun things. I will say this much, Jay. You mentioned the lack of the silly season. Yeah,
yep.
We've kind of have a silly season going on right now. It's called our presidential election. If there's anything more silly than that, I'd like to know about it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. My grandfather served in the United States Congress for 26 years. And I think if he came back today and saw the political playing ground, I don't know if he'd ever stop shaking his head. But, you know, it's interesting, Bob, because, you know, with it being election time, both of these candidates, in a way, have ties to golf. And I'm curious who you think, you know, take away some of the politics of it, who would be the best president for golf?
Well, that's certainly a tough question, and we're not trying to influence anybody in the direction they're going to vote. But I will say this much. I have had an opportunity to spend some time with Donald Trump. Matter of fact, on two different occasions, Janice and I sat down, had lunch with Sir Donald. And for me to say he is a little bit different, I'm being kind. The funny thing about Donald, Jay, is six times I think I've had interviews. It might be even seven. But here's how every one of them started. It was identical. All right, Bob, what is this, national television? No, Donald, this is radio. Oh, radio. All right, come on, let's get it over with.
Well, he certainly doesn't mind the limelight, and you're right, with his golf properties that he's got and the new place over in Scotland, which apparently is magnificent. I've been to the one in Florida. My friend Jerry Tucker, master professional, worked there and it knows Donald well. I think a lot of people would think, well, you know, because of his ties to golf, maybe it'd be better for the game if he was president. But I'll tell you what, you look at Bill Clinton has a passion for the game and obviously a passion for trying to raise money for causes. And despite what people may say, the Clinton Foundation does donate a heck of a lot of money. We're not going to get into their books, but they do. And a lot of that is raised through golf. And we know the leading money winner each year on the PGA Tour is charity. So I think it's a fascinating time. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you have seen a lot more elections than I have and seen.
Thank you.
That's a compliment. That's a compliment. But I mean, this is probably the most historic election of my time. And that's kind of earth shattering to think that 8 years ago we elected the first African American. And, we've got this now sitting in front of us. It's going to be a wild rest of the week until that election day.
You know, it's amazing. Every time we think or talk presidents, one of my favorite stories, Jay, and some of our listeners may have heard me tell this, but for those that didn't, down on the first tee for the President's Cup in Manassas, Virginia, standing on the first tee is none other than Jack Nicklaus. He was captain of the United States side. Gary Player, who I want to talk about a little later on now that he's 80 years old. Matter of fact, 81 years old. And I'm going to ask Jay if he does the physical routine that Gary Player does. I think I might know the answer before I ask the question. But anyhow, so down on the first tee, Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus. Now it gets really good. Bill Clinton on the first tee. George Walker Bush on the first tee. Already you're saying, and I'm sure our listeners are saying, wait a minute, what's wrong with this picture? All of these people and Bubka's on the first tee? Well, I'm standing next to President Bush, and all of a sudden I feel this little nudge in my side, and it was past President Bush giving me a little tap with his elbow. And, you know, I was petrified at that point. And he looks at me and he said, isn't this a name dropper's paradise? I said, good golly, if it's a name dropper's paradise to you, what do you think it is to me? But I actually saw him also down in Australia at a President's Cup. So, you know, you're speaking of golf and presidents, the Bushes, certainly a huge connection to the world of golf. Matter of fact, one of the early presidents of the United States Golf Association was a Bush.
George Herbert Walker, who the Walker Cup is named after. You're exactly right. And when you look, you know, I mean, it's granted, you know, once people hit a certain age, they don't go play in pickup games or go on the sand lot and play baseball. It is, you know, so many people really, when you look back, Bob, as you well know, Dwight Eisenhower and his impact on the game, many people would say that 1-2 punch of the King Arnold and Ike and his passion for the game really boosted the game to new heights in the mid-50s to late-60s, and Jack Kennedy played. So that is one nice thing, those of us that have a passion for the game, no matter where we fall politically, usually the president has 14 clubs in his bag or more.
Exactly. And President past President Clinton, well-documented that he had trouble with his addition. We don't think he did well in school. The totals that got down on that scorecard didn't seem to reflect what was going on the golf course. One other quick story that I think is funny. We were invited to Mar-a-Lago, his beautiful resort, and I'm speaking of Donald Trump's in West Palm Beach, and we flew in for the occasion and grabbed a rental car at the West Palm Beach airport. We just asked for the least expensive, smallest car they had. We're only going to use it to drive about 10 miles to his resort. We get there, we valet park, and then we go to the luncheon. And there were, you know, maybe 40, 50 people at this luncheon. And so it gets over. First thing I remember, I'm walking through Mar-a-Lago, and people may not realize this, but you can go there and stay as a guest. It is a you know, his residence, but it also is a resort. So I stopped at the front desk, and I said to the lady, just out of curiosity, if I wanted to come down here and Friday night through Sunday night, how much would it cost? And she said, $1,500. I said, man, that's not bad. $1,500 for three nights? She said, sir, that's per night, $1,500. and I said to her, Jay, I said, what do I get for that $1,500? She said, you get a room key, sir.
Well, you don't mess around, you know, whether it's Herb Kohler or Donald Trump or presidents, you're always right in the mix, Voice of Golf.
Well, it's been fun, and you know, we'll wait and see. You love this country, and like you said about your granddaddy, was he your granddaddy or great granddaddy?
Grandfather.
Your grandfather. Wow, being in Congress. Well, Congress was a far better place, I think, to be then than it probably is right now.
Yeah, we I think we know that we've got to get the divisiveness out of the out of Congress and out of this country, and let's all work together.
All right, enough about our presidential election. Next week, we'll all have the answer. Let's move on, Jay. And Tiger going out of his way to firmly commit to his tournament next month down in the Bahamas. Only 18 players in the field. Certainly seems like an ideal, competitive event for him to return to competitive golf. You think he's going to be on that first tee when the bell rings?
Oh, I mean, the need, was there really a need for him to make a statement yesterday that he is going to play? I mean, we saw the scenario where he committed on a Friday for Safeway and pulled out on a Monday. And that's a PGA Tour event. That's a real event. Now, I know this is Tiger's event at the Hero World Challenge, and you and I both know a lot about the foundation and appreciate what's happened. But I don't see the need. Why he would do that yesterday. It's again another baffling situation. We don't have any answers yet. And I don't know that we're going to have any idea until the morning of December 1st and see him hit an actual shot. I mean, is he going to next release a videotape of him practicing and hitting the golf ball? It's getting a little comical for me. I mean, once you say on the Charlie Rose show that you're going to play in the Hero World Challenge, and you've said that earlier when you made the statement that you were going to play in Safeway and overseas, you've already said you're going to play in the Hero World Challenge. So to me, it's like, what's going on, Tiger? Why are you trying to make yourself believe you're going to play?
You know, Jay, the only concern I really have, I'm fearful that some people may listen to Tiger say, hey, I'm going to play in my event down in the Bahamas. Somebody may say, man, I want to see that. Tiger's return to golf. That's great. Let me see how much the airfare is to the Bahamas. Let me see about getting a hotel. And then Tiger doesn't tee it up. I would feel bad for those people. I hope he does tee it up. Matter of fact, I think for you and I, who have worked with him for so many years together a lot of times, Jay, that the best thing that could happen is he not only tees it up, but he wins. And now what are we talking about for next year? We're talking about a golf season that will be absolutely incredible if Tiger's firing on, doesn't have to be 8 cylinders. For Tiger, maybe 7.5 cylinders. For him, he could get the job done.
It would be great. It would be our dream. Those of us that have a passion for the game and a passion for the way that Tiger Woods played it. There's no doubt about it, Bob. But as I said, it's a dream. And I think the thing is, as you said, how about all those people that, bought tickets at Safeway leading up to that Friday when he committed, and after that Friday until Monday. And he said, oh, by the way, I'm not going to play. I'm going to withdraw. There is somebody out there that's going to say, you know what? Let's take a trip of a lifetime. Let's go down to Bahamas. Let's get it all set up. Let's spend $4,000 or $5,000 and do this the right way and go down there. I mean, we're going to get to the point with the never cry wolf. I mean, if he needs to play, because if he shows up down there or, over Thanksgiving, which he's had some, pretty big Thanksgiving weeks, and says, hey guys, I'm just not ready yet. Maybe I'm looking at January. I'm looking at Torrey Pines or whatever. I mean, at what point do you just go, so what?
No, very, very well said, Jay. I mean, you do reach a point. You just can't keep saying, especially, with the ramifications of him indicating he's going to play in events. People want to see him play, and people take great measures to accomplish that. All right, before we go to break, Jay, speaking of accomplishing something, it just came out, Rory McIlroy, Lee Westwood, They're trying to make a push now to basically eliminate captain's picks from the Ryder Cup team. They feel strongly that the 12 best European players should play against the 12 best United States players. And of course, you know, they also feel that you don't have to be a member of the European Tour to be a European and to play for the European side on Ryder Cup. You have any thoughts on that?
I'm a little surprised that they, especially maybe Rory, because I think emotion is a part of those captain picks. And if a guy is on the outside that you know is a fighter, wants to be on that team, should has the ability to be on that team and finish maybe 13th or 14th or 15th on the point list. I think that type of a player Rory would want on his team. So I'm a little surprised at this. I guess you win three Ryder Cups and you lose one and you want to start changing stuff. I have always enjoyed the captain's picks. I think they should be very simple. I think it should just be two. And I like the old way of doing it. And maybe if there's a veteran player that didn't play in enough events or maybe had a good year the previous year and didn't get enough Ryder Cup points this year, I think the captain's picks have always been a part of it and should be a part of it. I don't like just saying, hey, here's our points list, throw it out there, and whoever the top 12 are going to play. Because some year there's going to be, you know, four or five players that make it their first time and they haven't really been in the heat.
No, very well explain, Jay.
Well, what do you think about it? Because you know Rory and Lee, and I mean, you know, I mean, like they're experts now because they won a couple of Ryder Cups.
Yeah, well, the one thing I've learned about the Ryder Cup, and it starts with the captain. What I've learned with Ryder Cup competition, if a captain wins, man, did he do one heck of a job. If they lose and he did the same thing, man, he did a lousy job of being captain. I mean, and you know, had Europe won, we wouldn't be here, Rory McIlroy saying, "Hey, let's change it around." I don't know. You know, Ryder Cup started 1927. It's rich in tradition, rich in history. Let's not monkey around with it too much, or we just run the risk of you know, people getting sick and tired of all the belly aching, and the Ryder Cup will lose some of the luster that it has on it and has had on it for a long, long time. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, which happens to be part of the world's largest sports radio station. You can pick up Jay Randolph Jr. on Twitter at STL Golf Geek. And you can find us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show. When we return, we'll find out if Mr. Jay Randolph Jr. met the challenge issued by Gary Player. And if he says yes, I know he's lying. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor, the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in there. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com. That's golfin.com to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
All right, we're back. I got a question for you, Mr. Randolph. Did you take Gary Player's challenge to do 81 sit-ups to celebrate his 81st birthday? He's in great shape. All right, answer the question, Jay.
Well, you know it's a no, but God bless Gary for doing it for all of us. We'll just thank Gary for all the sit-ups he's done. He is one of the most amazing people in the world, and you know him well. The only people that have flown more miles than Gary Player are the astronauts, and that's the truth. He is a vibrant human being. His passion for physical fitness, the fact that he won the Grand Slam, the World Traveler, the Black Knight, he's a unique individual, just as Jack. I mean, the big three, Bob. I mean, we haven't lost Arnold. He passed, but we'll never lose Arnold. We'll never lose Jack, and we'll never lose the Black Knight. And happy 81 to Gary Player.
You know, let me ask you this, Jay. Nothing's been said about it, and I don't know the answer, and I'm actually assuming that you don't know the answer. I hope you do, but you know, Gary Player was not in attendance at the memorial service for Arnold Palmer. Just about everybody else in the world of golf was there. Have you heard anything as to a reason why Gary wasn't there?
No. The two people that stood out that day from not being there, and as we talked about before, I mean, you never know when something like this is scheduled, what another guy has or what somebody's got to do, or with Gary, where in the world he could have been. But both Gary and Tiger not being there, I think we're talked about because neither one were there, but I have not heard, and I've got to believe that the only way Gary wouldn't have been there was because he just had a commitment that he couldn't get out of.
We're getting word from one of our listeners that he was in Germany at a prior, commitment SAP event. So yeah. I know Gary well enough to know that he certainly was there in spirit. He thought the world of Arnold Palmer, and Arnold Palmer thought the world of Gary Player. I mean, you know, Palmer got certainly all the credit that he deserves for being that gritty competitor on the golf course. But let me assure you, you didn't want to go head-to-head against Gary Player because he had this amazing disdain for losing, which allowed him to be the great golfer that he was.
Oh, no question. A tremendous fire that he had. When he got the Grand Slam 1965 in my hometown of Belle Reve Country Club, he used fiberglass shafts that week. And, you know, that was the first time that the U.S. Open did not conduct 36 holes on Saturday. They ended up on Sunday because, as you remember, the previous year with Venturi at Congressional in that heat, they decided to change it and play, you know, 18 Saturday and 18 Sunday. And Gary Player said something I'll never forget. You and I were together on the air, and you asked, you said, Gary, J. Randolph Jr.'s here. And Gary said, J. Randolph Jr., I went to dinner with his dad. He tried to butter my hand. He is, he's a unique individual.
Yeah, he certainly a sheer delight. Every opportunity, there's down to two people. It used to be three. That any opportunity I had to spend time with Mr. Nicklaus or Mr. Player or Mr. Palmer, it was always very, very special. And that's one of the things I truly admired about your dad. I mean, he was a giant in the industry, but he truly respected the greats of the game. And, you know, not enough people do that. I mean, as time goes on, people start forgetting how good those guys were. But in our eyes, they were certainly very, very special. Speaking of special, best golf course you ever played, Mr. Randolph. Ooh. I know you quite a stick, played in college. You know, you were the hot shot out of St. Louis. Where's the favorite track that you got to tee it up on?
Boy, that's a tough question, Bob. You and I have been so fortunate enough to not only play a lot of great places, but just be at a lot of great places. I kind of look at it two ways. I look at it here and over there. I have an affinity for Ireland. I love Ireland, and you know, Ballybunion is just so raw and can be so mean. And if the conditions aren't right, but if the conditions are good and the wind's favorable and you're playing good, it's one of those courses you could score on. And so I'm going to keep it Lynx Golf in the U.S. and a place where you're familiar with, the National Golf Links of America, is just a unique spot. There's so many great golf courses. I mean, just to walk the grounds of Augusta National or be it a place like Pine Valley. I mean, we could go on and on. And part of it depends on what you like, and I'm obviously a Lynx guy, so I'll go Ballybunion over in Ireland and over here, the National Golf Links of America.
Well, you bring up one heck of a memory. I qualified to play in a tournament at National Golf Links of America. I was born and raised out on the east end of Long Island and used to play Shinnecock on a regular basis, not even realizing what a great golf course it was. The whole world didn't even realize it was that great until that 86 U.S. Open there. But I was a young kid, about 22 years old, and qualified to play in the tournament at National Golf Links of America. And we had, you know, it was a blind draw, and I see that, boy, my opponent's going to be a guy by the name of Lord Taylor. And I had heard about Lord Taylor, that he was worth about $90 billion, and I had never seen him, and I had never really met him. And it was a Saturday morning, and I was standing up on that first tee. Actually, I was washing my golf ball in the ball washer, waiting for Lord Taylor to show up. And all of a sudden, this person starts walking to the tee. I said, man, that's got to be Lord Taylor. And he gets to the tee, and you've played there, Jay, so you realize that on that first tee, if you turn around and face in the opposite direction, there's Peconic Bay right there. Yep. And as I'm washing my ball, Lord Taylor says to his caddy, give me a couple of sleeves, my man. And I watch, and six new Titleists come out of that bag, flip back to Lord Taylor. He hit six of them into Peconic Bay, and by then I was finished washing my ball, and the match started. So,
you were just happy to have golf balls, and the Lord is just striping. Did you go look at Peconic Bay after the round?
That's where I should have been. I might as well finish it, because I played, you know, I did win the match against Lord Taylor, which I was very happy. And that made me play against a fellow by the name of Piper. But at the time, my only source of income, my parents owned a meat market and grocery store in a nearby town, and I saw where you could rent a self-dispensing ice machine. So I rented one of those, and boy, I was making good money. Every night I'd go down, take the money out of the machine, and put more ice bags in there. So I got to play a lot of golf. It was certainly unusual occupation. But my second round opponent is Piper, and we're walking down the first fairway. So I said, Sandy, so what kind of business you in? And Sandy looked at me, and he like he didn't want to answer, you know. He just kind of, aircraft, you know. I said, oh, you're Piper Aircraft? Yeah, my family owns Piper Aircraft. I said, oh, good God. He said, what do you do, Bob? I said, Sandy, right now, all my assets are frozen. He said, oh, that's not a good thing.
I didn't realize you were such an ice magnet in the Northeast, Bob.
Oh, golly. National Golf. You can't, that is a wonderful choice of a golf course. And unfortunately, not too many people have ever gotten the opportunity to play there.
No, it is a tough spot. I mean, it's, you got to know somebody. And if anybody ever gets the chance or has somebody, if you ever get the chance, you can't miss it. It's a fantastic spot. Now I'm going to put it on you. You've been all over the world. You played all over the world. What's your favorite golf course?
Well, if I had an opportunity to go back and play someplace, I'm going to say a name that I guarantee you've never heard of it, and I would venture to say 99.9% of our listeners have never heard of it. It's called a place called Monte Mayor, and it's located about 15 miles from Valderrama. And when the Ryder Cup was at Valderrama, I was asked if I would go down and take a look at this golf course that this gentleman had just built, and I was going to be his guest. So I remember his first night was Pierre. I don't remember his last name. And driving to this golf course, you had to go up this single-lane road, literally up this mountain with no guardrails. And I'm saying, holy mackerel, where are we going? Up and up and up. And then we finally pull onto the property, and I see somebody, and I said, is Pierre around? They said, yeah, he's right over there cooking hamburgers. I said, well, what the heck? The guy owns a golf course? So I walked over. Yeah, he said, I'm just making some burgers. If anybody comes in and wants to have a burger, you can have it. But it's built on the side of a mountain. He bought this property, and he tried to get different architects to come design it. Everyone said no. He went through a list of like 20 of, and then maybe the 21st architect said to him, all right, I'll do it. No plans though, and no budget. And Pierre agreed. And the guy showed up one day with a big giant bulldozer, and he said, just wait here, Pierre. And the guy spent 4 or 5 hours going back and forth. And then he jumped off the, bulldozer and said to Pierre, well, that's the first fairway. Now we'll go from there. And literally on the side of a mountain, I think most of our listeners, I'm sure you have too, Jay, have seen the comic paintings and drawings where you're teeing off on one mountain and the green's on another mountain. Well, it's a lot like that. And you have to be very careful when you're up there, because some of the edges, you don't go looking too closely for your golf ball. You may tumble down about 3,000. Feet.
Is it private, Bob? Is it playable for people if they go on a vacation to Spain?
I think it is. It's been quite a while since we've been there. Back in when was the Ryder Cup there? I guess 1997. I'm pretty sure it's either 97 and 1999. But I've heard a little bit about it, and it has the best logo of any golf course I've ever been to. It's the it depicts a bull, charging a golf flag, and the flag's half bent over from the bull running into it. I thought it was great. So anybody out there, if you get a chance, you're in Spain, Costa del Sol area near Valderrama, Monte Mayor. I almost want to say, if you don't enjoy it, I'll pick up whatever the green fees, but I don't have the money of Jay Randolph Jr., so I'm not going to say that. All right, come on, we got to move on here. We're reminiscing and waxing away. Hey, what about this guy, Cody Cribble? He just won the Sanderson's Farm Championship. a UT guy, was actually on the same team as Jordan Spieth. Just another example, Jay, of young guns that are showing up on the professional scene, and they're not coming out like they used to years ago, where they would take a little time to learn everything about playing PGA Tour golf. They come out now. They think they can win.
No fear. No fear at all. It's fascinating. Guys, when they first made the tour, I mean, we're talking about the Payne Stewarts, the Peter Jacobsons, the Freddie Couples, on and on. All they wanted to do was just get their feet under them, keep their card, you know, let's make enough cuts. This is a whole new ball game. This kid, Cody Gribble, left-hander's got big-time talent. A couple of years ago at the Long Drive Championship at the Sonny Hanna Amateur, he didn't hit left-handed. He turned it around, hit a 275 right-handed down the pipe. This kid's got a world of talent. He had to have a big finish at the Web.com final event, and he shot 67 in the final round to finish tied for fifth, which got him his existence on the PGA Tour. And you look at what he did the first week. He finished tied for 14th. That first week he played, then he comes back and plays a brilliant final round. I mean, the way he's putting, and he's one of those players, Bob, that, you know, he's in that next wave of guys that you better watch out for. And he may not be the only Longhorn we're talking about in 2017.
No, you're right. Jordan Spieth had a very quiet last year, but, you know, if you win two majors the year before, you're in pretty good shape. But we will keep an eye on Cody Gribble. And of course, you mentioned his name earlier in the show, Jay. Hideki Matsuyama, actually now the youngest winner of a World Golf Championship event. He's won at Jack's Place. This kid has the potential to be the greatest golfer ever from Japan. I just love his game. I love his action. He seems to have that perfect timing, and you know, he's very confident when he strides down the fairway. He doesn't seem to have any backup in him.
I mean, hard to believe, not only, as you said, the first Asian winner of a World Golf Championship event, but the youngest winner. Hard to believe that somebody younger than Tiger could win a WGC event. But you know, Hideki did, and it took a couple years before Tiger was on tour, before some of the WGC events came out. The only thing now missing, Bob, from this resume of this young man is major championships. And that's the next step for Hideki Matsuyama. How will he play the next 2, 3, 4 years in major championships? Because, you know, we got so many young players. We just talked about a kid, Cody Gribble. You look at Justin Thomas winning last week. He's now in that category of, hey, I can win a couple of times on the PGA Tour. And then the next step is competing in majors and then winning one. And that's the next step for Hideki Matsuyama. World of talent.
Amazing thing is, golf is so revered in the country of Japan, and no Japanese player has ever won a golf major. And you know, and I know from experience, the amount of press that they have when their stars are playing. When Hideki will command 20, 30 writers of different papers and magazines, and maybe 30 or 40 photographers. But if he ever gets in shape, let's say after two rounds in April down at the Masters, I mean, they will fly in droves, and it would be a huge event in Japan. And I'm going to say when. I'm not going to say if. When a Japanese player wins a major.
No, I think you're right, and it's probably going to be Hideki. But, you know, somebody asked me this the other day. Does this mean the tour is going like the LPGA Tour? And what they kind of meant was, is that Asian influence going to be coming to the PGA Tour? Well, it's been coming, and it's going to keep coming, but it will never be to the lengths that it has been on the LPGA Tour, whether you view that as a good thing or a bad thing. But it's, again, a good sign for the game because, you know, we can't get too focused on just these United States. It's good for the game worldwide.
All right, Jay, time for us to take a peek at what's on the schedule this week. And, man, maybe you left Las Vegas a little too soon. They're playing out there. Las Vegas Shriners Hospital for Children Open. Smiley Kaufman defending. I used to love covering tournaments in Las Vegas. It was the longest week of my life. Sometimes I didn't go to bed for 3 days, but I was covering the action at night and covering the action during the day. But it actually is a great place for a golf tournament. And, you know, the people at Shriners certainly deserve a lot of credit.
Well, and they put on a heck of a pro-am out there, and guys usually go low in a pro-am type of event. And like you said, it's if you can't have fun in Las Vegas, then you should get out of the fun business.
You got that right. They're having fun on the European Tour, the Turkish Airlines Open. Begins their final series. They got three tournaments to determine who's going to win that race to Dubai, and a great big fat payday. And that'll end with the DP World Tour Championship. That'll be in Dubai, another place that I was fortunate enough to go to. We don't have time for my Dubai stories right now, but European Tour winding down.
Yeah, you know, the opposite of the PGA Tour, which is supposedly starting up. You know, it's getting a little lengthy. We're getting now, you know, finishing that season almost at Thanksgiving. But, you know, the European Tour does it their way, and there'll be great golf play, that's for sure. And I can't wait to hear about your time in Dubai in upcoming shows.
Well, it's certainly a good time for us to be on the air together. This time of year, two turkeys talking golf when we're going to be eating a lot of turkey in just a little while.
Well, that's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, and the Armed Forces Radio Network and Talk Sport 2.
So a big thank you to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America. No turkeys there. To Golfin, innovative clubs for all ages, beginners to winners. That's their goal. And to golfweek.com. So on behalf of Janice Self, our executive producer, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bubka, thank you so much for being part of our Grill Room family. And please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.